You sit on the edge of your seat, sweating bullets, heart racing, head pounding, high-fiving, yelling, laughing, celebrating, and you're sick to your stomach. Folks, it's why we love sports, and especially why we love college and pro football. All of those emotions, it seems, goes into each and every game. What a week it was, and what a week I'm sure it will be again. Plus, the new era in Jacksonville begins, and as always, we'll be joined by another former Seminole great. And oh yeah, our locks of the week. All coming your way on the Mark Lloyd Show. Let's make it rain.
It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to the rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Boy, we're fired up here. Happy Saturday, everybody. A lot of stuff to get to, as always. Seminole Bill,
yes,
right out of the box, I'm going to know, are you recovered from last Saturday before Florida State takes on NC State today? Are you recovered from the Clemson game?
Man, that was just way too much emotion. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But isn't that it?
That's what it's all about.
Isn't
man.
That it? It's a roller coaster, baby.
Yeah.
It always is. That's why we love it. Folks, the Mark Lloyd Show is brought to you by our good friends, right, Seminole Bill? We're protected by Fraud Protection Network. Get Rapid Pro today and protect your identity. Visit them at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Wow. Florida State survives Clemson. I think now, Bill, a quarter of the way through the college football season, we could start forming some opinions. We could start forming some opinions, and the reason I'm saying that is because that's segueing into another opinion, not about college football, but about an individual. That individual is famous Jameis, and as we saw earlier this week, TMZ comes out, and you got to hand it to TMZ. They have no loyalty to anybody, so they really are unbiased.
None.
They just want to stick it to whoever. They just want to make news, bottom line. They're not worried about who this person, that person, doesn't matter. But how about now the extortion is kind of what they're calling. Is that a good way of putting it, Seminole Bill?
That's the alleged line they're using, yes.
That the girl's attorney, with the Jameis Winston, sexual assault case that he got exonerated from last year, but they're still pursuing. But now, information has come out that TMZ, which said it was published early on Wednesday morning, that the states that Winston's attorney made the claim in a letter he sent to FSU regarding the quarterback's cooperation with the university's Title IX investigation. He said the accuser's attorney said the woman would never speak another word about the case if the payment was arranged, right?
Yeah,
$7 million is what they wanted. They said, give us $7 million and forget it. We'll walk away. Am I right, Seminole?
That's what it was. That's right.
I'm not mixing words there. That's what they said.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said.
So, here comes the other side now. And all I want is that for everybody that took them to the woodshed, just come out and say, okay, hang on. You know, what's going on here? And there are some other words that we won't even say on the air that was mentioned out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's pretty tough
about
stuff.
The color of skin and stuff like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into that. However, Winston never should have been in that situation. I'm not going to start getting into the whole sexual assault. It's the atmosphere right now involving sports. It's all negative when it comes to that, rightfully so.
Yeah.
All right, there's no debating that.
No.
We're not even talking about that. All we're talking about that there is another side to the story, and that side of the story needs to be said by everybody out there. They are doing it, but
yeah.
I don't think they're doing it to the extent that they should, because at the end of the day, and I was talking to my brother about this, I do not understand. It's just why we love that, just sometimes, whether they deserve it or not, just to tear people down.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Seems like it's always easier to bury someone than to lift them up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not saying that people don't deserve,
right,
a scolding. people don't deserve what comes to them. You know, and we've all been there.
Nobody here jumped up and down and said that everything he did was perfect.
Absolutely not. Everything to do with the Clemson game. I mean, I my first reaction when it came to the suspension and everything, I'm like, well, there you go. I mean, what are you doing? What baffles me is that I'm sitting there going, Jameis, isn't it? Why don't people call him selfish, you know, at times because it's a selfish act? But I'm sitting there going, Jameis, why aren't you selfish? And what I mean by that, and I think everybody out there will agree with me, be selfish. But the type of selfish as in you have your eyes on the National Football League in the millions and millions of dollars out there. So by being selfish, stay to yourself. Don't do anything stupid. Don't concentrate on one thing: winning, doing good, getting your degree, and then going and make millions of dollars. That's it. Be selfish. But so when they say selfish, sometimes I'm like, well, I don't think that's the word, because if he's selfish, he would say, listen, I'm not gonna run down the football field because I might get hit. You know what I mean? I'm not going to make that run against Oklahoma State. Whoa. I already know if I don't do anything else, I'm a high draft pick. So I'm going to pull Jadeveon Clowney, you know, to a point.
Right,
you know, which,
right.
You know, so it's just weird. I don't think selfish is the word. Stupid and dumb by the moves, there's no other way of getting around that. I don't understand it. Nobody does. You can't keep on chalking it up to being immature. Bottom line, it's water under the bridge, but the TMZ story, I know it broke several days ago, but it's our first chance to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they say selfish, most people are meaning self-absorbed, you know? That's where they view him, with all the stuff he does and the grandiose over the top, but that, from all accounts, is just who he is. Now, everything else that goes along with it, you have to be smart. You have to make smart choices. You're the leader. Charlie Ward will tell you that. Derek Brooks will tell you that. Warwick Dunn will tell you that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, enough of that, but we wanted to bring that up. Let's get on the field, Seminole Bill. Let's get on the field. You know what? We can start drawing some, forming some educated, let's use that word, educated opinions about the college football teams that are out there. And I'm a firm believer that there are a handful of teams that are the teams that will be playing or trying to get into the college playoffs. But I will say this. This is the first time in a long time I can't recall. When I look at the landscape, I do not see that one team that you're saying, you know what, they are just a juggernaut. Florida State last year was a juggernaut. Lights out in the first quarter. Game's over. You know what I mean? Game over.
Right.
But there's not that team this year. There just isn't. And if you start going down the list, they all have legitimate question marks. You know, with an unbiased opinion. I mean, let's start going down the line real quick, Seminole Bill.
All right.
We don't have time to recap all the games and everything like that, or look into the games that are going to be played later on today. But if you look at Florida State, big concerns about the offensive line in the running game. I don't care. It is. Facts are facts. They're
major.
Half the yardage that they had last year. And last year, they were a good running football team. Not a great. They're never going to be a Navy or, you know, something like that, or an Alabama. But they were good. They were solid.
Right.
Let's say that.
Right.
This year, they're awful so far. There's nothing else to say. They've been awful so far. And that's surprising with the senior laden and possibly two high draft picks on the offensive line.
Yeah, the center play has been interesting. I've had a lot of banter about that and whether, you know, this guy.
Alston Barron.
Yeah, Barron, I'm sorry. Can't measure up maybe to Stork, but, you know, that was.
That's hard to do,
yeah.
But I think the criticism is that for us, just watching it, it seems like there's a lot of blown assignments, yeah. And there's just not a lot of holes open up for these running backs. And Carlos Williams needs that. He's not the most gifted runner when it comes to knowing where the hole is at this point, because he's a new running back.
Right.
He has all the talent, but, you know, you got to learn.
You got to learn it.
You got to learn the position. Also, though, for Florida State, is the linebacker play. They seem lost at times, and I'm basing that off of my eyes, but also listening to the educated people out there that analyze the game. And they you know, you have to be open to other people that have played the game, what their opinion is, and say, oh, okay, that's what I'm seeing.
Right.
And that's what we keep on hearing. All right, well, we agree on Florida State. I'm not worried about wide receivers. I'm not worried about secondary or defensive line, even though it's a big blow with Nigel Stample going down. That
right.
really is. But time for another, you know, freshman to step in.
Yep.
Or
someone
somebody.
Steps up. Right.
I look at Alabama as they just absolutely obliterated the sorry Gators. And the Gators are sorry. We'll get into that in a minute. But Alabama, I think their secondary is no doubt is questionable. A lot of stars back there, but if you could throw the ball and you have somebody good, you're going to be able to pass on Alabama. Yeah, I just think you are. Their secondary is questionable. Their offense, Blake Sims, man.
Looks good.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you really come on.
Right now, their offense, they look like a juggernaut. I know it's Florida, but Florida's supposed to have this great defense as always until somebody lights them up right. the way they did. But Blake Sims is playing out of this world.
Lights out.
And just think if you're what happens if you're Jacob Coker?
I know, man.
You're thinking, darn, I didn't need to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I could have stayed at Florida State and still play the next year because he's not playing this year unless Sims gets injured.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Not going to happen. Auburn, everybody watched that game against Kansas State. Okay, here's what I want to know, Bill. Folks, we got to make up our minds. All right, so Auburn goes to Kansas State. Kansas State is always a good football team. You know, once in a while they get on a run, they get a Colin Klein-type quarterback, but they're just good. You know, give me a break. Auburn goes there, and K-State has them on the ropes, man. They didn't make some of these stupid mistakes. They had Auburn on the ropes, but a good team finds out how to win. But I think, you know, they figured out some things about Auburn's offense and really shut them down to a point.
Oh,
to
yeah.
a point,
yeah.
folks. Take that light. Shutting down is not the right word, but they were containing them. How about
right.
that?
Right.
And the receivers had lots of drops.
They had a chance for that game.
But you're absolutely right. Now, we got to talk more college football. I know we got to go to break because I want to get into some other teams. But before we do, is the Big 12 not any good? You know, is the Big 10 not? It's like we just pick and choose how good that conference is, you know, as the weeks go on. It doesn't make sense. Let's stick with what everybody says, you know, because Auburn playing K-State, they should be an inferior opponent. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Auburn should have just dominated, but they didn't.
They
All right, folks, lots more to get to. When we come back, though, we're going to talk to another former Seminole great. Tay Cody joins us here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Coming up next, right here on Freedom 93. Stay with us. You know, Seminole Bill, every 3 seconds, someone becomes a victim of identity theft.
Every 3 seconds? My goodness.
Yes, every 3 seconds. How about this stat? 1 in 3 adults will be a victim of identity theft.
Now that's scary.
You bet. Identity theft knows no age, Seminole Bill. It can happen to us, to you, the listeners, even to your kids. It's really a serious problem. And folks, look at all the different places and ways your identity can be stolen.
So, Mark, how do we keep our identity safe then?
Well, we have that one covered. Let me tell you about the real deal in identity theft protection. Our good friends at Fraud Protection Network have developed an amazing service that all of us need these days. So, if you think about it, what do you want in an identity theft company? Huh? What do you want, Seminole Bill?
Well, I would
How about this? Protect your identity with Fraud Protection Network's Rapid Pro.
Rapid Pro, huh?
Hold on. Wait for it. How about this? Real-time alerts, huh? Public record update alerts, credit monitoring, credit report and score, priority live member support. How about all that?
Well, it sounds like Rapid Pro has everyone protected.
No doubt about it. Everyone that signs up is protected. Friends, why not allow Fraud Protection Network to worry on your behalf? Get a variety of features that drive you toward having the peace of mind you deserve. Monitoring, protection, support. It's all there. True real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff. Victim assistance, address change verification, and positive trigger alerts. Just call the good folks at Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683, or you can visit them on the web at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Don't delay. Call today, Seminole Bill, 855-203-0683, and ask for Rapid Pro, or visit them at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us today. The Mark Lloyd Show, we're protected by Fraud Protection Network. Get Rapid Pro today and protect your identity at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. All right, folks, I think it's everybody's favorite segment every single week. Time now for our Back to the Future segment, where we welcome each and every week a former Seminole great, and boy, do we have another fantastic one for you this week. Everybody, please welcome former Seminole great and NFL player for the Chargers, which is very cool. Chargers have a big game this week. Tay Cody to the show. Tay, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
No problem. Anything for the Seminoles.
Now, there you go. Everybody in Tallahassee always loves to hear that. And let's jump right into things because last week with Florida State against Clemson and all the controversy, and you won a national championship with Florida State. And so what What we're really curious about, and I think all the fans want to know out there, is that when an instance like with Jameis Winston, what happened, and just the distractions and everything that was around the program, take us, Tate, into the locker room. You know, does the team come together when instances like this happen, or does the team get divided at all? Does the defense get a little divided from the offense, depending on what player might have the controversy? Take us inside that locker room.
The main thing is just like you said, I think it brings the team together because, you know, it's an adversity state. And, you know, anytime, you know, you're going against adversity, you know, you got to have a new identity, whether somebody's not going to be there that week or whatever the case is. So from the locker room standpoint, the players, you know, they come together. You know, obviously from the leadership standpoint, Jimbo, Coach Bowles, you know, they come in and make the case for, you know, how they want this situation handled. And then the veteran leadership, the seniors and everybody, then we step forward and just come together as a team. And when you go through adversity, stuff like this, that's what the great teams do. You know what I mean? They relish those moments, come together, and then they become really a better team.
You know, Tay, you mentioned come together. That's what the great teams do. Obviously, Florida State's defending national champions. And it was really interesting what Jimbo said at the end of the football game against Clemson. And, it's weird. It's like there's no explanation of how to explain it. But when somebody says, we know how to win. So as the odds were all stacked against them and the crazy plays that had to happen. But at the end of the day, it really does seem that great teams know how to win those close games, even though they might not have the momentum. Can you recall back in your career, maybe on the march to the national championship or any other time where the team just wasn't on, but you guys knew how to win? What is that? What is that psyche?
It just really like speaks on the teamship. I mean, like the love for your team. I mean, like that's where everything, you know, like all the special teams, you know, like you might not be as athletic as another team. You know, every team has their own identity. But what makes a great team special is for all those group of guys to be on the same page, to really genuinely care about each other and really wish well for the team. And there's some games where, you know, you know your role might be diminished, but, you know, during those times, you have to understand that and trust in the game plan. And so what the great teams know is at the end of the day, we got confidence in our team over your team. And that's just weird. That's just stuff from all the way back to spring training and just all the hard work that the team pays in together, the summer weight training and all that stuff and the one-on-ones in the summer. All that stuff leads up to developing the whole team confidence. And, you know, I think they said Rashard Greene went in at halftime. You know, he's a senior. You know, he knows that it was time for us to step up, you know, because, you know, all the great ones, they know those moments. Hey, we got to seize the moment. You know, everybody out here feel like, you know, about the Jameis stuff. You know, it's our time. We got two quarters to show what we got. And some type of way, the great teams always know how to go out there and make those plays when it mattered the most. And that's what separates them.
Boy, that is the truth because it happens over and over again. Tate, taking a look at – let's talk about Florida State's defense right now. What are you seeing? I mean, you played the game at the highest level, so obviously you see things that somebody like me that has never played it at that level doesn't see. What are you seeing from this Florida State defense, and do you see them improving each week as they're trying to defend a national championship?
I see them improving each week. I mean, I think the defensive line, you know, they're coming together as a unit. I think the secondary is intact. But for me, I'm concerned about our linebacking core. I mean, I think, you know, we got some young guys who are trying to really come in and gather some experience. But I think as the season go on, they're going to get that experience. But I want to see a bigger run style. I want to see a bigger linebacker. I'm concerned about us playing against some elite teams like Alabama. Got some good, you know, NFL quality running backs. I'm a little, you know, that's my only little point as far as me looking at the defense. I think they do a great job of rallying to the ball, but I want to see a guy that who can really, you know, stop you from falling forward and stuff like that. I think we're a little undersized at the linebacker position. That's really like my concern. But I think Coach Kelly, they're going to do a great job as far as, you know, making sure those guys get the experience and be in the place they need to be at. But just for me, with my eye test, I like the linebacker core to kind of step. They're going to have to step up their play as the season progresses.
You know, that's the one note. It's the one note that Seminole Bill over there and I, we were talking about is a linebacker play. You know, I listened to the analysts and everything, but what they kept on saying to Tay and shed some light on this is that that they seem lost sometimes. They're always fixated when it's a running quarterback, you know, one of those spread read option quarterbacks or whatever you want to call it, like a Deshaun Watson, that they seem confused. Does that, over time, because they're so young, that hopefully they won't be confused anymore? Because right now I think it is a major concern.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, first of all, they're trying to gather experience. And then, you know, you're trying to gather experience on the go, and then you still got to look at, you got these great offensive coordinators that you're going against each week. They're game planning your week because, you know, obviously they evaluated you on film. They see, you know, they really attacking your weaknesses. So right now it's just kind of like, you know, they kind of like in a position where, you know, they just got to get better each week. They got to really spend extra time in the field, got to really work on their craft. Because it's obvious, just like you say, they're doing a great job of flying around. I'm not taking that away. I think they're doing a great job of flying around, making plays, and doing the best they. That's a big fourth down start right there by North, by number five. I really like the way he fly around, but he's still a little undersized to me. Like, you know, you go against those big backs, those big backs still look like they're gonna be able to pick up the extra 2-3 yards once they do make contact. That's what I'm concerned about for trying to win a national championship. Plays like that make a difference as far as you're trying to really win a national championship when you get to play in an elite team.
Boy, isn't that the truth? All right, Tay, let's go back to the national championship year for you. And I remember watching that game against Virginia Tech. And explain to the seminal.
I was there.
I know I was there too.
I was
broadcasting from New Orleans. And Tay, I was just, first of all, the defense of Florida State was just so unbelievable that year, and the offense. I mean, it was just, it was truly incredible. But I was just blown away how fast Michael Vick looked against, and the way you guys were able to at times contain him, but then at other times he just seemed like he was out of this world. What was that like going up against somebody, and have you ever gone up against somebody that was that fast?
I mean, that was like, that set the bar for us because, you know, as a defensive unit, you know, for what, the previous 3 years, you know, we always was in the top 10 or whatever for us, all in all the categories for us. Defensive-wise, you know, we pretty much, you know, we're always ready to shut down whoever we face. But that night, I don't think we really knew how good the kid was. You know, he was still a freshman. So, you know how you're still going into a game, you're playing a freshman. But, you know, I mean, he did us the same way like he did everybody in the world, I think. I mean, that was his coming out party. He showed what he could do against an elite defense. And from my standpoint was, you know, I had two roommates, Tommy Powell and Roland Seymour. Yep. And he tore both of their ACLs. So after the national championship game, I'm in the hospital with both of my roommates, and Michael Vick is responsible for both of them. So I had a whole other insight as far as how he affected, you know, how hard he was to stop on the field, and then the damage that he left to our defense. You know, those were two potential first-round picks, you know, that, you know, he did that too. So we all left that night. We all know that he was a special player. I mean, his speed was, you know, he was probably the fastest player on the field. I mean, you know, we had elite athletes.
No, there's
I mean, no doubt he was the fastest player on the field.
No doubt about that. But at the end of the day, Tay, what we were talking about a little while ago, the great teams know how to win, right?
I mean, know how to win. And, you know, you look at that game was a roller coaster up and down. We jumped out on them, they came back. And then what we did, we closed it out at the end, you know, and that's what the great teams know how to do. They know how to find a way to win early in that season. Same way up in Clemson. It was a tough game. You know, I think I wound up blocking the punt at the end, blocking the field goal at the end. We found a way to win throughout that whole season in the Swamp. You know, it was roller coaster up and down, but you have to be able to overcome adversity, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be some more adverse situations for us coming down the season, and we're going to have to overcome them. But, you know, for me with the defense, like you said earlier, I'm just concerned about the linebacker play. I really am.
Tay, this Seminole Bill, listen, you know, I was at those games you were just referencing, and yeah, you came up, you were another Clemson killer, man. You always seem to rise against Clemson with the rivalry going on there. But what I heard the other day that I thought was really cool, and I'd heard reference to it, but maybe you can shed some light on it. Peter Warrick, in that national championship game, actually walking into the huddle and telling the troops, "Do you want me to finish him?" And I think that was on that big play where he made that acrobatic catch for the touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, I think right before, I think we was about to call the play, and I think it was a timeout. And then, like, during the break, like, everybody in the stand was saying, like, Peter Warrick. And then, like, on the sideline, he was like, "Hey, man, the game over with. I'm finna end it right now. Like, it's over with. They're finna throw me the ball and the game over with." This was, like, during the halftime, during the break, the TV timeout. And the next play was the catch he made in the end zone. So that's facts. That's facts. He said that.
That's great.
He was saying his name during the break. Peter Walker.
I was one of them.
That's what a great story. You know, that's a good segue because, Tay, every time, each week when we have a former Seminole great on our show, we always like you to share with us a Bobby Bowden story, a memory of just one part of your career. What really, I know, I'm sure there's a bunch of them, but is there a story that you could share with us, that was just, it had a real impact on you? Maybe it was when he came to your, you know, for recruiting or at, you know, when you were here already?
Well, for me, it was every Friday night we went to Thomasville. Like when we had a home game or either the night before the game when we were on the road, was the fact that he always got us in and had some reference to the Bible where, you know, he came in, maybe read a scripture, and he always stressed the importance of us being saved and going to church. And looking back, you know, on, you know, everything that I went through in my life, that's what I remember Coach Bowman for, because that night before the game, regardless of what you've been through the week, he give you that preparation as far as the way to go to sleep that night, you know, what your thoughts should be the next day. And looking back, you know, that's what I do now. You know what I mean? You know, read Bible scriptures and, you know, being saved and stuff like that. So that's the way I've always looked at Coach Bowman. There was a lot of more stories, but that's always what I remember Coach B by, as far as, you know, because I needed that, you know what I mean? You know, I always look forward to that moment when, you know, he got us in, you know, gave a Bible reference and, you know, always referred it back to the game and, you know, what potentially could happen the next day. And I always look forward to, kept up with the scriptures and stuff he told us, you know, the way where he read it from or whatever the reference was. And that's what he always was. He was a father to us. He had an open door. You can go in and talk to him about anything. And that's what, you know, that's how he handled himself. You know, even when he came into your house, you know, he made a commitment to your parents, you know, he's going to, you know, take care of you. And he lived up to the billing for it with me. I know that coming from a small town, stuff like that. So
that's great.
He really helped me.
And you know,
down the line, of course, with that.
You know, what's fantastic, Tay, is that every time we hear a story, it's always a different story, which is really good. It's not like just one thing that he always did. He affected everybody, all the kids that are on his team in many different ways. And Tay, last question for you. What are you doing with yourself nowadays? What are you up to?
Right now, I got like my own little mentoring service that I run. Like, I go in and educate parents and high school students about requirements for go to college. A lot of them be potential athletes. I try to help them make sure they're on track to go to college and stuff like that, knowing about the clearinghouse and, you know, what do they be, you know, what do they have to make on the ACT, SAT, and just providing mentorship to young high school students. I got my own company. It's called 27 College Prep.
Okay. And do you have a website or a phone number?
Yeah, it's 27collegeprep.com. 27, my number, collegeprep.com.
Wow. You know what, Tay? We always love to hear, Seminole Bill and I, we talk about this a lot. We always love to hear that that people have made a name for themselves, like you, that have been successful, like you, take the route of giving back and shedding the wisdom of the things that you know you did wrong, maybe, and the things that you did right.
Exactly. Just being there because, you know, when you get young kids leaving high school 20, 19, 21 years old, they don't know, you know what I mean? They don't know what's going on. You know, college really is a different world. And so, you know, those kids need to be prepared for that because a lot of kids coming from various backgrounds, they're not prepared for the college life, and they're going to go out there and make mistakes, you know, unknowingly mistakes because they just don't know. And so that's what I want to do, make sure kids understand, you know, what is required for you to go to college, you know, what is going to be expected you when you get to college and stuff like that, to give the kids a heads up or, you know, their next chapter in their life. And they're still young adults.
Well, congrats, Tay, and continued success. And thanks for coming on the Mark Lloyd Show. We always love to talk to former Seminole greats. Take care, Tay.
Hey,
thanks.
Manny. Hey, thanks so much, bud.
Thank you, Tay.
Tay Cody, awesome. Good stuff. Another mentor. Don't you love to hear that, Seminole Bill? You and I talk about that all the time.
It's important.
Yeah, it really is that you have a name for yourself and you're out there and you're doing good things. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to our Jacksonville insider, Rick Ballew, who's going to shed some light on the Jags game coming up this week and Blake Bortles' first start. All that coming up right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. You know, Bill, every 3 seconds, someone becomes a victim of identity theft.
Every 3 seconds? Seriously?
Every 3 seconds. How about this stat? 1 in 3 adults will be a victim of identity theft.
Now that's scary.
You bet. Identity theft knows no age. It could happen to us, to you, the listeners, even to your kids. It's really a serious problem. Look at all the different places and ways your identity can be stolen.
So, Mark, how do we keep our identity safe then?
Well, We have that covered. Let me tell you about the real deal in identity theft protection. Our good friends at Fraud Protection Network have developed an amazing service that all of us need these days. So, what do you want in an identity theft company? Huh? What do you want, Seminole Bill?
Well,
how about this? Protect your identity with Fraud Protection Network's Rapid Pro.
Rapid Pro, huh?
Hold on. Wait for it. How about this? Real-time alerts, huh? Public record update alerts, credit monitoring, credit report and score, priority live member support. How about all that?
Well, it sounds like Rapid Pro has everyone protected.
No doubt about it. Everyone that signs up is protected. Friends, why not allow Fraud Protection Network to worry on your behalf? Get a variety of features that drive you toward having the peace of mind you deserve. Monitoring, protection, support. It's all there. True real-time alerting. No secondhand stuff. Victim assistance. Address change verification and positive trigger alerts. Just call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Don't delay. Call today, Seminole Bill, 855-203-0683 and ask for Rapid Pro or visit them at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93. Mark Lloyd Show protected by Fraud Protection Network. Get Rapid Pro today and protect your identity. www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Well, you know, it's a new era in Jacksonville, we think, coming up right now. With Blake Bortles getting the start, we're going to go to Jacksonville and talk to Rick Ballew, who's the Jags sideline reporter. You can follow Rick at BALLOU1010XL. That's Ballew1010XL. Rick, thanks for taking the time to come on with us.
Nice to be with you today. A lot happening around here.
Yeah, I bet. You know, before we get to Blake Bortles now getting his start, what was, and I'm not knocking him, but what was the philosophy behind saying that he was never going to, you know, he was going to redshirt, basically, if we want to use a college term? What was the philosophy behind that? Why? Because of the disaster with Blaine Gabbert?
Well, if you go back to draft time, no one, and I repeat, no one saw Blake Bortles coming to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, general manager David Caldwell was very clear on the fact that he did not believe a rookie quarterback was ready to come in and start in the National Football League this year. That includes Carr, Bridgewater, Manziel, and Bortles. When he was selected at number three, it blew everyone away. So I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Number one is a young general manager who's trying to build trust with his team within the NFL. Chad Henne signed 3 days before free agency. I firmly believe at that point, Chad Henne was told, because believe it or not, Henne would have been able to fetch some money in the free agency market, either with an opportunity to start somewhere or as a proven backup. I think he was told, you're our starter. And David Caldwell and Gus Bradley said, sign here. You're going to get that first opportunity. So the combination of them not believing a quarterback was ready out of the draft and bringing back Henne is a reason why they waited. Now, he did some nice things in camp, did some nice things in preseason, and it became evident that this football team moves the ball downfield with the youngster under center.
So what can we expect? Obviously, in the preseason, you know, excitement was off the chart. You know, not just from Jack fans, but I think, you know, the nation was going, wow, every other rookie quarterback looked like they were struggling, didn't know what they were doing. And Blake Bortles was out there, you know, at times, I know it's a preseason, but was tearing it up. And then he gets his first crack last week and seemed like he looked like a rookie by throwing a couple of interceptions. But then again, he looked like, you know, who everybody thinks he is, the third pick, by driving him on those touchdown drives. How much of the playbook does Blake Bortles know? Is it going to be drastically reduced, or does he know half of it, three quarters of it?
No, he knows it all. He's a very smart guy, and he's a gym rat, if you will, in the film room. I mean, this is a guy with impeccable character, great book smarts, also with Chad Henne, and I noticed that on the sideline immediately after he was removed to begin the second half. Henne's a great leader. Now he understands his role. He did it with Gabbert, that he's never going to be an enigma on the sideline or in the clubhouse, so that's really going to help out Bortles. Bortles will be fine there. His understanding of the offense is absolutely not going to be a concern. he's just got the riverboat gambler mentality. He's going to throw in the double coverage. He is going to make some mistakes, and I think that that's okay with his franchise. He's going to be anything but boring. He's going to move the football downfield. Perhaps his best performance of the year was a preseason game at Detroit where he blew everyone away. But during that drive, he realistically should have thrown two interceptions. There were two balls dropped by Lions defensive back. So this guy is going to make some mistakes. He's also going to hit some home runs. But as far as the lack of knowledge of understanding, Coach Fish's offense, that's not going to be a problem.
That's interesting. You say the gambler thing, and it's weird, Rick. The first quarterback, and I'm not making a comparison, but when you mention that, I just think of Brett Favre, a gunslinger. Yeah. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm going to whip that ball around. I'm going to make some great plays. I'm going to make some head scratching plays, but it's never going to be boring. How does the team view him, Rick? Can you see him being the unequivocal leader? In that huddle right from the beginning, or does he still need to? I guess everybody needs to earn it to a point, but right now they have a lot of confidence in him, the other players?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the buzz and what he's able to do to this football team when he's in is electrifying. Let's remember, Jacksonville is going to send out six rookies on the offense this week at San Diego. I mean, that's almost unheard of. They're the youngest team in the National Football League. They only have three players over the age of 30, one of which is a kicker. In Josh Scobie. So, yeah, I mean, this kid's humble. This is not a look at me type of guy. He knows his role. He came in with the understanding that he's the backup, but he's infectious and people around him get better. I think it's also very important to note that one thing that will really help this football team out, even though Gus Bradley did not admit this Monday during his press conference, is way too many three and outs. I mean, the Jaguars have had 15 three and outs in three ball games. What does that do? That tires down your defense. When the defense is playing one and a half or two times the amount of plays that your offense is playing, it can create a division within the team. We saw that last year with the Florida Gators where they couldn't get along with one another because the offense didn't move the ball. And number two, it takes away the amount of plays they're playing. So fatigue and bumps and bruises and injuries are not as much of a factor in the second half.
So what needs to happen this week with Jacksonville going to San Diego? Tough football game, obviously. San Diego, a quality team. And you know what, Rick? You mentioned it. He has talent around him. I mean, Allen Robinson, I thought he was good. I didn't realize he was going to play this well. I was expecting kind of that from Marquise Lee based on 2 years ago when he was in college. There's obviously talent around him, but what can we expect from the Jags this week up against the Chargers?
Well, I think it's wide open. I think anything is a possibility. San Diego is a 14-point favorite. San Diego is a team that, if you track them the last couple of years, plays so well some weeks, and then they just don't show up on other Sundays. So I like San Diego in the game. Jacksonville really struggles on the West Coast. They just can't win there. We're going to leave actually a day early. We're going to leave at 2 o'clock on Friday. That is when the team charter will take off to give the Jaguar players an extra day in the West Coast to avoid jet lag and what have you. But I think you'll see an exciting brand of football. I don't think you'll see run on first down, run on second down, third and some long distance, forced to pass, punt team. I would expect some shots. It seems like he's got a good relationship with some of those younger wide receivers. Lee won't go again this week. Because he's got the hamstring, so he'll miss a second consecutive game. But you get veteran Cecil Shorts back in a contract year. He wants to play well. You pointed out Allen Robinson. That was his best game as a pro on Sunday. Alan Hearns is an undrafted free agent, has had a case of the drops, but has also scored three touchdowns. I thought that Denard Robinson, the converted quarterback out of Michigan, played his best football game of his young career and only his second season in the second half. Both him and Gerhardt ran the ball more effectively than they have all year, and it happened with Bortles under center. So, I think the defense needs to certainly get much better, and Gus Bradley hinted that there could be some defensive changes come Sunday, but I think offensively it'll be anything but boring.
Well, that's it. You know what, though? If you're not winning games, which they aren't right now, don't be boring. Be exciting. Excitement as a fan, it brings hope. You know, and Blake Bortles brings hope in all the talent that you talked around. Hey, one last question. Because we're in Tallahassee, what's your assessment of Telvin Smith so far, the outstanding linebacker for the Jags?
Well, incredible energy, you know, a sixth-round pick that graded a lot higher, but there were questions after the failed, drug test at the combine. Here's a guy who is, he's one of the fastest linebackers that I've ever seen. He's that good. Telvin Smith, he just needs to understand a little bit more his defensive responsibilities. It's totally different from what he did at Florida State. They play a Leo type of linebacker here. They play an auto type of responsibility where you're asked more to go after the quarterback. Telvin Smith has a chance to be the best coverage linebacker here for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he's made some mistakes early on, and unfortunately they've only been able to really use him in nickel coverage situations, obvious pass coverage situations. The biggest problem for the Jaguars defense is they haven't been able to cover the line, the tight end, and in that linebacker safety zone that has not been good. But he's only played three games and he's off to a pretty good start, but I would expect him to rise on a week-to-week basis, and I think when it's all said and done, Calvin Smith's got a chance to be a real good one.
Fantastic. Hey, Rick, thanks for coming on, and safe travels, and hopefully the Jags and Blake Bortles, who's from my alma mater. I'm a UCF grad, so hopefully he'll have an outstanding game and a bright future for the Jags, possibly. Thanks, Rick.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, thank you guys very much. We'll talk soon.
All right, see you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
So there you go. You know, a lot of energy, a lot of hope, and I don't think that's a bad thing when you have a losing team. What you don't want to hear is that we're not winning, and nobody knows what's going on. And that's the situation they were involved when they had Blaine Gabbert as a quarterback, because everybody said, listen, we're not going anywhere. We don't have the talent around them. All right, folks, stick with us. When we come back, we have some locks, right? Similar to Bill and I, will go head-to-head, plus our two college locks this season, and we'll talk some NFL, all that coming up right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us. You know what happens every 3 seconds, Seminole Bill?
Touchdown Seminole!
No, not touchdown Seminole. Something more serious. Someone becomes a victim of identity theft.
Seriously?
Yes, every 3 seconds. And how about this stat? 1 in 3 adults will be a victim of identity theft.
Now that's scary.
You bet. Identity theft knows no age, Seminole Bill. It could happen to us, to you, the listeners, even to your kids. It's really a serious problem. And folks, look at all the different places and ways your identity can be stolen.
So, Mark, how do we keep our identity safe then?
Well, we have that one covered. Let me tell you about the real deal in identity theft protection. Our good friends at Fraud Protection Network have developed an amazing service that all of us need these days. So, if you think about it, what do you want in an identity theft company? Huh? What do you want, Seminole Bill?
Well, I would...
How about this? Protect your identity with Fraud Protection Network's Rapid Pro.
Rapid Pro, huh?
Yeah, hold on. Wait for it. How about this? Real-time alerts, huh? Public record update alerts, credit monitoring, credit report and score, priority live member support. How about all that?
Well, it sounds like Rapid Pro has everyone protected.
No doubt about it. Everyone that signs up is protected. Friends, why not allow Fraud Protection Network to worry on your behalf? Get a variety of features that drive you toward having the peace of mind you deserve. Monitoring, protection, support. It's all there. True real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff. Victim assistance, address change verification, and positive trigger alerts. Just call the good folks at Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683, or you can visit them on the web at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Don't delay. Call today, Seminole Bill, 855-203-0683, and ask for Rapid Pro, or visit them at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Protected by Fraud Protection Network. Get Rapid Pro today and protect your identity. Visit them at www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. All right. Every week we do it. A fitness tip and our water check. What do you want to do first? Fitness tip?
Fitness tip?
Okay, fitness tip. All right. Folks, every week we try to live a healthy lifestyle here on the Mark Lloyd Show. So we always feel it's our obligation to share a fitness tip with you. And the tip this week is there's lots of different muscle building basic exercises out there. And it's good if you do that. But it's really important, though, on the nutrition side to feed those muscles. So you must make sure if you're working out 4-5 times a week, increase your caloric intake and complete protein intake. So make sure that you're taking enough protein because you're tearing down those muscles in order to build up everything that you are trying so hard to do. So remember, muscle tissue grows outside of the gym. So when you give your body some time to relax, that means you are recovering and it's time to grow. Now, what's just as important that is you should be drinking about a gallon of water every single day. Our Austin Idol water check. Seminole Bill, how many ounces today have you consumed on this beautiful Saturday afternoon?
Okay, I have to say.
You beat me last week at this time. Now, I'm sure I came out the winner at the end of the day because I'm confident about that, but how many ounces?
I'm at around 44 right now.
44? You know, Bill, Seminole, hey, you know what? That's up from like 32. It's a little down from the other week when you're at 50-something. Okay, well, I'm crushing you right now. I'm at 68 already. You know, it's four bottles of water. Now, yeah, this is a disappointing thing, but we have to ask him. Eric, ounces of water today. How many have you consumed? You know it's important, right? You do know that, right?
I know it's important.
Okay, you do know that Seminole Bill and I are looking out for you, right?
Of course.
Okay, so with that said, and you having all that knowledge, how many ounces of water today? Talk to me. Come on.
None. Oh, wait.
No,
wait.
How many ounces of water today?
Wait, ice cubes count?
No, wait.
There's ice cubes in my drink.
There's ice cubes in your drink. That's so the
that's
water. You're...
That's water.
You know what, Seminole? I'm gonna. This is the blame game. This is the NFL. I'm blaming you, Seminole Bill.
We talked about this all last
no,
week.
No, you're obviously not doing a very good job. He's now down the ice cubes. What are you sick in the hospital and you're eating ice chips?
You know,
good Lord. All right, you know what? But we're not going to give up, right?
I can't give up.
Do not give up. But now we're down the ice cubes in a lemonade drink.
What if we combine them?
All right, folks, drink a gallon of water today. Actually, drink a gallon and a half and help Eric out. Make up for a little of his deficiency going on right now. I guess even though he's young, he still should be drinking more water. All right, Seminole Bill, we have some NFL we have to get to. I want to talk on a couple news and notes real quick. We didn't get to the rest of the college football. How much time do we have left in the show? I need to know that right now because there's a couple other college football teams we want to talk about.
We're going to talk about those teams.
Okay. All right. So, okay, good. So we got to Auburn. We're going to get to the NFL in a second. We got to Auburn before we had our two great interviews today. We thank them. Oregon, another team that a lot of people expected to make the playoffs. Yeah. Well, their offensive line, if anybody stayed up and watched that game after the Florida State game, you know, I did. And they have some real issues. Marcus Mariota, I mean, he's a superstar. There's no doubt about that. He willed that team to victory. But their offensive line is shaky at best. And that's against a Washington State team. Brother, you throw that offensive line up against a Florida State and Alabama and Auburn and some of those teams on this side, they're in for a world of hurt. World of hurt. I don't care how good Marcus is. Oklahoma, everybody's making them the consensus number one team right now. Yeah. And I get it. They played West Virginia in Morgantown, and there's always that thing, it's so hard to win it, and all that garbage. But their defense, I think, is good. I don't think anybody has a great defense right now. No. I think they're good. I don't care. You know what, folks? I think the jury is out on Trevor Knight. I'm not a fan of his. They discovered a fantastic freshman running back that had a big game. But I think the jury's out on Trevor Knight still. And if the jury's out on your quarterback, then I'm not putting you at number one. Not happening. Yeah. Not happening. Yeah, just isn't. Texas A&M. Offense is humming. You know, Kenny Trill, as he likes to be called, is playing incredible right now. Lit up South Carolina at South Carolina. I'm not going to diminish that at all. You know, first start, all that garbage. Did a fantastic job. Continues to roll. No letdown against the teams that they should crush. They're blowing them out like they should. But here's the one weakness, I think. I think the jury's out on their defense still. Their defense was just god-awful last year. Sucked. Period. Bottom line. I hate using that word, but they did. I don't know if they're average this year. Time will tell on their defense. But if their defense can play good, then look out. A&M is strong.
Yeah.
And then let's get to the team that has no chance of making the playoffs, and that's the Gators. They're just embarrassing right now. Will Muschamp, he's got to. He's got to be canned.
Not good in Hogtown.
Jeff Driskel has never improved since the day he's been there. There just seems like there's no playmakers at all. DeMarcus Robinson, 1 week, he has 15 catches. Yeah, it's against Kentucky. That's why.
But they gave him a good game.
Yeah. Who?
Kentucky.
Oh, I know. I know. That's what's great. Kentucky's a lot better than what everybody. No, they're not. They played Florida.
They're Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly. And Florida, the only positive, if I'm a Gator fan, that I could pull out of that game, my good friends, is that when you did get a turnover, you did turn it into points. Somewhat.
Right.
So there's a positive. Other than that,
but
forget about it.
Where are the playmakers they used to have, man? The speed.
I don't know. And Vernon Hargraves, the number one quarterback in the nation. Whatever. You know, Amari Cooper took him to town. Times. Absolutely. And the one guy in the Florida defense that is nasty, that could play on any team in this country, is that Dante Fowler Jr. He is a stud.
Yeah.
He's a first-round draft pick, no doubt about that. All right, let's move on to the NFL Seminole Bill. Real quick, I just want to touch on one thing. I think that there's three huge games this week in the NFL. Green Bay versus Chicago.
Ugh.
And the reason I'm saying that's huge is because Green Bay's got some real issues. I am blown away. I had them going to the Super Bowl. I think I had them winning the Super Bowl. Well, they look terrible right now. They're scoring the least amount of points they have in the last six seasons. There is something wrong with that Green Bay Packer football team, and specifically that offense. Real quick, the Eagles versus San Fran. It's not a make or break for Philadelphia. They've proven to everybody, man, they have a team. San Fran is in dire straits right now. They are in dire straits.
On the ropes.
They're not the disciplined team. Bill, Seminole, they're not intimidating people like they did. They'd walk on in that football field. They're almost like a college team going up against a weaker opponent. You know, like, we're big, we're bad, and we're just going to obliterate you. And this year, not happening. Arizona, wow. And then New Orleans versus Dallas. Now, the reason I brought up this game is because Dallas is shocking some people right now. There's a little bit, I'm not a Cowboy fan, but there's a little bit of magic going on there, I think. Early on. I know it's early, Seminole Bill. You gave me that look.
Yeah.
You gave me that look.
All right.
But there seems to be, there's something brewing there, and this is a big game against New Orleans. You know, it really is. They came out and played last week. All right, let's do, here's our, on the season, on our college football locks that we say take it to the bank, we're 2-2 on the season. So we're 500. So you're losing to VIG right now. That's not good. Here's our locks this year before Seminole Bill and I go head-to-head. Take Notre Dame -11.5 at Syracuse. Syracuse is terrible. Just awful. So take Notre Dame -11.5. And Florida State fans, you want them to keep on winning. And then also South Carolina is -5 against sorry Missouri, who lost to Indiana. Oof. Remember Missouri, the 18th best team in the nation from the SEC. The SEC and their all-powerful conference. How come nobody's talking about Indiana, who's terrible in the Big Ten, goes and beats Missouri at Missouri? So take South Carolina, lay in the 5. And what's funny, too, is how South Carolina doesn't drop last week after being taken to the brim by Vanderbilt.
But Vandy.
Right. Lord. Oh, Lord. You know what? The SEC is the greatest marketing job in the world. They could do no wrong. All right, Seminole Bill, you ready to go head-to-head?
I'm ready.
We only have a few minutes left. All right, on this season, we're even. Am I correct?
Yeah, we're right about it. Yeah, I think
you're right. There's no right about it. We're even, right? Or are you ahead up? You up by one? Are you up 3-2 on me?
No, I got you. We're dead even.
Okay, we're dead even. Yeah, how could you be 3-2 if we only pick two games?
Yeah,
so actually, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So this week, Oregon, you want to go Pac-12?
Let's go West Coast.
You want to go West Coast?
Yeah, man, go out there.
Okay, I love the West Coast. Oregon State at USC, at Southern Cal. Southern Cal's laying the 10. USC, really let a lot of people down after beating Stanford, you know, by getting smoked against Boston College. Oregon State, it's just a typical Oregon State, Washington State type team. They score, brother. Sean Mannion's a quarterback, fantastic. What do you think?
Wow, man. I mean, you know.
Are you laying the 10 or are you taking the 10?
I'm going to take that 10.
You're going to take the 10?
I think the Trojans might still be a little down, man.
Darn. All right, we'll go together. You know what, folks? We do this real. So it's not like, oh, he takes that, I'll take the other side. No. I'm going to go with Oregon State also. Okay, Philadelphia versus San Fran. San Fran -5. Wow. I go first this time.
Yeah, you go.
You know what? I always like the Niners. I don't like anything about Philadelphia. I don't like Chip Kelly. I don't like anybody on the team. Nothing. I'm going to take San Fran -5. They have to get on track. They have to, Seminole Bill.
Yeah, they need it. They're reeling right now, man. But the Eagles, as some people call them, the Eagles are doing quite well for themselves.
Yeah, they are.
Surprising a few people.
Boy, I'll tell you what,
And you know what? I like that matchup. I know that they got to go out, but hey, I'm going to take the points.
You're going to take the points.
I'm going to take Philly.
Okay. All right. We agree on Oregon State and USC with the points. Taking Oregon State and Philly versus San Fran. Seminole Bill took the Eagles getting the 5. I took San Fran laying the 5. Hey, another great show. We want to thank Tay Cody for coming on. He was awesome. And also Rick Ballew, the Jags sideline reporter, about the Blake Bortles era starting in Jacksonville. And there's excitement and a lot of hope there right now. And, of course, we always want to thank Fraud Protection Network for protecting us here, right, on the Mark Lloyd
Absolutely.
Show. Get Rapid Pro today and protect your identity. www.fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Another great day of college football. The Noles are coming up in just a little while. Do they blow out NC State, Seminole Bill?
They're going to ramp them.
You know,
they really are.
Winston comes back with a vengeance?
Yes.
I think so, too. I think that maybe last week against Clemson was. Sometimes you need games like that.
Yeah.
And as Jimbo said, they know how to win.
Yeah, well.
They know how to win. But it's time to light a team up. And I think NC State might be the same way. Remember when Florida State lost to Notre Dame back in 93?
Yeah. Came back hard.
What happened to NC State the next week? I think they lost 63-3.
Right.
Let's see if that happens this week. All right. For Seminole Bill and Eric, I'm Mark Lloyd. Thanks for hanging with us here on the Mark Lloyd Show. We'll talk to you next week. See you.